this is a big one that I think sometimes I don't do a good enough job of remembering, and that's, hey, you need to find additional sources of proof, right? If you've lobbed over a bunch of document requests and this is someone with knowledge of those documents, right, obviously this is a ripe area of exploration to find additional sources of proof, even with lay witnesses, additional witnesses, additional electronic and digital evidence, more purposes, right? This is the cross-examination portion. You have to elicit admissions for both dispositive motion practice and for trial. This is the cross-examination portion. And finally, critically, you have to develop impeachment on that witness. You have to explore the witness's credibility. And I'm always surprised. I have a standard outline. I'm always surprised what I and my students and other lawyers are able to turn up by asking the question you don't think you're going to get a yes answer to. By asking the person, for instance, every single time, have you ever been involved as a party in any litigation, right? I want each and every instance. It's amazing what you'll turn up, right? You also need to demarcate the boundaries of witness knowledge, right? As important as finding out what a witness does know in a deposition is finding out what they don't know, and we'll talk in particular about some good tactics to do that. But if you don't demarcate the boundaries of witness knowledge in this deposition, what happens? Well, they show up at trial and they remember a whole lot more. Or they show up with an affidavit where they remember a whole lot more. And you have to make sure you find the limits of their knowledge. And it's a key purpose of deposition. So how do we develop a better big picture approach before we get into deposition? First, you have to know the elements of your causes of action, obviously, before you take the deposition. But it isn't just knowing them. It's knowing them well enough, I think, to draft a jury charge early in the case. And to have your jury charge and see what you're having to prove, what the other side's having to prove in terms of claims and defenses, and really having that in grid fashion or in some other organized fashion before you ever outline the deposition, right? And I know for many people, you're practicing in an area where there may be a repeated case context where you just know the elements cold. I still don't think it hurts to review and have that as part of your materials going into the deposition, because there's things you can forget, particularly, I think, with defenses or claims you may not see every day. You need to develop a working theory and theme of the case before you sit down in deposition, right? What do you think happened based on the information you have? Hopefully you have written discovery beforehand. And from there, you need to develop, and this is something I'm preaching to people who know to develop a theory of the case and know to know the elements of the case, but this is something you may not have thought about, and it's something I've really worked on over the past few years. You need to develop a theory of the witness. I'll say it again. You need to develop a theory of the witness before you sit down, and you need to allow that theory of the witness to evolve through the deposition. What do I mean by a theory of the witness? Let's imagine an intersection collision, okay? And you are representing the defendant who says he has a green light, but there's a problem. A witness says your defendant had the red light, okay? And you're deposing that witness, right? We've all had this deposition. So the problem in your case is the witness sees a fact exactly the opposite from your theory. Your theory is your guy had a green light, and you have a witness who's threatening that theory. Well, developing a theory of the witness means understanding why the witness could be giving that testimony, right? Is the witness a liar? Is the witness lying in this particular instance because they have a motive to lie for a particular party? Is the witness just mistaken? Did they have a perception problem? Does the witness have a memory problem, right? Does the witness have a grudge that's motivating them to testify a certain way from something that happened at the accident? You know, I think as lawyers, what's our default theory of every witness? I think, and I don't know where this comes from, but if we don't like what a witness is saying, lawyers have a default theory for that witness. What is it? Liar. They're liars. But that's not juries' default theory on people. It's not how juries look at people. That's not how people in the real world, people, they may think some people are liars. They may think some people are not. But I think our penchant to turn everything into, if they're against me, they're just a liar, right? You may be biting off more than you're able to prove. And so I think being able to develop a nuanced theory of the witness, why is this person giving this testimony, right? Or here's another theory of the witness. The testimony is correct, but it doesn't contradict my primary theory for some reason. So for instance, the witness did see a red light at the wrong time. Okay. And all this goes into having a theory of the witness and understanding how that theory meshes into your overall theory of the case. And I think if you have that, and by the way, you may not have it going in because you're discovering it in the deposition, but you need to have an eye towards finding that information out. Okay, your deposition outline is where all of your approach to the big picture takes place. And your outline should develop tests, expand your theory of the witness and case and your theme. And it should also anticipate, just like you would at trial, anticipate your opponent's theory and theme on that particular witness. Okay, let's talk about how to start better openings. And this is an area I'm going to wager that how many people out here are active litigators taking depositions? Okay, I'm going to give you some advice that I think may be different than what many, many of you are doing in your practices, because it's much different than the way I was trained. And the person who converted me on what an opening should look like is Shane Reed in his book. And I'll tell you that letting go of the traditional opening that your supervising partner probably taught you a few years ago to a few decades ago, depending, right? Because I was given an outline and told how to do an opening. Letting go of that, I think, can be psychologically different, but I think there's some benefits you could reap. So hear me out. Even if you end up disagreeing with me, hear me out here, okay? So openings. Why do we need better openings? What's the problem with openings? Well, many, particularly with lay witnesses, set the wrong tone, okay? Openings, if you watch deposition videos, openings tend to be very heavy-handed. Are the questions in an opening segment of a deposition leading or open-ended? They're very leading, right? So for instance, now there's a court reporter sitting right here. She's taking down every word you're going to say. You understand that, right? They're very leading, very heavy-handed, and they set the wrong tone because you got to step back. What's a big goal in this exercise? To investigate. And to get the most facts, what do we need that lay witness to do? Talk a lot, right? The lay witness has to speak.